Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of a series of studies on preparation for the end time. Today's topic, really important, Jesus and the book of Revelation, or maybe we should call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's all about being ready for His glorious return. There'll be principles we'll learn that will not only bless your life, but the lives of those you love and pray for. So we're glad you're here for Hope Sabbath School. What do you think of this series? So practical. And I love the series, the study we just did on Daniel in the end time. And by the way, if you missed any in the series, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You'll find the series Preparation for the End Time. Lots of other series too. I'm still remembering the Chinese professional who wrote and said, I found your website and I've watched 100 hours of interactive Bible study. And I've encouraged my mother to watch too. You know, God is good and those resources are there for you. We're always happy to hear from you, Hope Sabbath School members around the world. I know there's 150 countries that are watching because of our app. And if you didn't get our app, you can get it for your iPhone or for an Android phone. Just go to the App Store, Hope Sabbath School. It's free and it's a great little app. Here's a note from Alina in Guyana. Now, you've been to Guyana, right, Travis? And you know about Guyana too, right, Marcus? You've got a passion for what God's doing there in Guyana. This is from Alina, and she says, greetings, Hope Sabbath School team.
Greetings.
I'm Alina from Guyana, the only English-speaking country in South America. I discovered Hope Sabbath School last year. As a young adult, I'm happy I'm still able to follow the Sabbath School lessons, and I've been truly blessed through learning the scripture songs and following the outline each week as I use it to teach a collegiate class at my church.
Amen.
Well, that's awesome, Alina. So you get the same outline. I've got mine right here that I'll be using today. You use that same outline to teach a young adult class. That's wonderful. By the way, if you don't do that, you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can download the outline, make a copy for everyone in your class, see what an amazing study you'll have. She concludes, may God continue to bless the team in a special way to reach others and bring about a blessing in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
That is so encouraging, Alina. Thanks for writing to us from Guyana. Here's a pastor writing. His name's Frankie. And he's writing from Colorado in the United States. Just want to thank God for Hope Sabbath School Bible study. I was blessed the day I discovered your program, and I watch it daily.
Amen.
So that's our Daily Hope version. Being a minister who teaches Sunday school as well as Bible study, I've been blessed by the knowledge that your studies share about the Word of God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I pray continued blessings upon your faithfulness to the Lord. I'm located in Colorado, and he gives the name of his Missionary Baptist Church there. Thank you for remembering us in your prayers. Well, God bless you, Pastor. And I'm glad that you're a pastor who wants to base your ministry not on human opinions, but the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
We're glad you wrote to us, and we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Nathi writes from Swaziland, which is
Switzerland?
Somewhere, right? Not Switzerland. Swaziland is embedded in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
I'm so blessed with how God is working through Hope Sabbath School team. God is working in my life through you.
Amen.
These awesome emails. I'm so glad. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. It brings such incredible joy to our hearts. And we're just humbled to know God is blessing your life, not the through Hope Sabbath School. Please continue with the good work of sharing the good news. I believe I will meet you in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
May God bless you all. Beautiful. Thanks for writing to us. Linga writes from Liberia in West Africa. It says, I'm writing from Liberia, West Africa. Hope Sabbath School is a life-changing program.
Amen.
It helped me to build my Christian life and share with others, especially in my Sabbath School class. It's my prayer that Hope Sabbath School can reach the dying world and share the good news of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for writing to us, Linga from Liberia. One short note from Virginia from a donor who sent a donation of $50. You say, how much can you do with that? Well, if 1,000 people send, that's $50,000, right? This gospel is going to go to the whole world. I want to thank you. Not going to mention your name, but you write, thank you so much for Hope Channel, what you're doing to win souls for Jesus.
Amen.
I thank you. Please continue to keep me and my family in prayer. God's blessing be upon you all. Well, God bless you for your support. And you know, we can all do something, right?
Yes. Yes.
Did you ever imagine that you'd be on this team?
No.
But God said, I have a word I want you to share. Today, as we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ and preparation for the end time, you are here by a divine appointment.
Amen.
And we want to share what God has for us. We want to pray because you're also here watching this program by divine appointment, that God has a life-changing word for you. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we're just so excited that we can study your word today. And we've got a song to sing too. I'm so excited about the study. But I just pray even as we sing that your word would touch our hearts. The song of Moses and the Lamb from Revelation 15. May it change our lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm so excited about the study. Stephanie's looking, saying, do you want to sing a song?
Yeah.
Well, I do, actually. It's our theme song for this series, Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4. It says, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. If you haven't learned it yet, go to our website, download the MP3 file, the sheet music. I know you sing better than I do. So if we all sing together, it will sound beautiful. Let's sing together now.
Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? Who shall not fear you, O Lord, for you alone are holy. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been saints.
Amen? I want the angels to sing that song with us. Maybe they'll come up and they'll say, we have a better tune. It's okay. I've learned the words. And the word is in our hearts. We want to honor God in all things. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave to his servant John, is to help us so that when he comes in glory, we will not run in terror. Right. But we'll look up with joy in our hearts.
Amen.
This is our God. We've waited for him, and he will save us. Amen. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1, because we'll learn some lessons in this book that will help us in our preparation for the end time. And I'm going to ask Gladys if you'd begin by reading verses 1 and 2. And I have a question for you once we've heard the words 1 and 2, Revelation chapter 1.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Revelation 1, verses 1 and 2. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw.
So my Bible begins by calling this the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Is it a revelation by Jesus Christ, that he's the one doing the revealing, or is it a revelation about Jesus Christ?
About.
It's about.
It's about.
But the Bible says it's also a revelation by.
From him. Yeah.
So who votes for both?
Both.
Okay. It's by him. And it's about him.
Right.
Now, verse 3, and I didn't think to read this, but I think we should read it, Nicole. Mm-hmm. Verse 3 has something very interesting to tell us, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, that ought to motivate us in our study today.
Amen.
So the New International Version says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." Yeah.
Mm. Why is there a special blessing, do you think, attached? Now, maybe there was a time even when this was first given that not everyone could read. So the one who reads is blessed,
and the one who hears
is blessed. You're all blessed. If you hear the... Why do you think there's a special blessing attached to the reading and the hearing of this prophetic book? I mean, we're blessed every time we read the Bible, right?
Yeah.
I'm blessed when I read the Bible. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm so blessed. That's a beautiful Psalm 23. But there's something about the revelation, Alyssa. Yeah.
Well, it says, "For the time is near," and you wonder the time of what? Probably the time of the end, and so that you're prepared for that time.
So it's a timely message. It was timely back then, of course, because Christians were laying down their lives. Mm-hmm. And we don't really know which day is our last day, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to be ready every day. Travis?
I think the blessing comes because the revelation of Jesus Christ presented in the book of Revelation is about his character, about his love for humanity, and about him saving humanity.
Yes.
So this is a life-changing revelation.
Amen.
Yes. Now, the blessing is important, but look at the end of the book in chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. These are troubling words. Christine, do you have that for us?
I do.
Revelation 22, 18 and 19.
Verses 18 and 19, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll."
So why do you think anyone, first of all, it's a very serious warning, isn't it?
Right.
Why do you think anyone would want to kind of clip things out of this book, so to speak? You know, cut and paste, but not paste them, just cut them. Mm-hmm. Why would they want to do that? Marcus?
Their own agenda. Maybe they have something that they want to push forward that might deceive somebody else.
Right. It's kind of like when Jesus first came, he didn't meet everybody's expectations. So this is not the Messiah we're looking for.
Right.
And you're saying if they say this is not the narrative that we're looking for with the conclusion of all things, we could adjust it to fit our agenda?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Stephanie?
Well, I was thinking similar to that. But with that point that they're leading others astray, and I think that's critical. Mm. Not only are they believing a lie, but they're leading others astray.
You know, that reminds me of a text where Jesus says, if you cause, you remember that one? One of these little ones to stumble.
It's better
to put a big rock around your neck and be drowned, you know, in the depths of the sea. Now, how many people does Jesus want that to happen to?
None.
No, because it says he's not willing that any should perish, right? But it's just a warning. So great blessing, great warning. Sounds like this book is really important for us.
Right? Yes.
So many people have noticed strong link between Daniel and Revelation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do they have in common?
They're both prophetic.
Okay. Right. Talk to me about that. What does that word prophetic mean, Mark?
So it means that which is yet to come. So Daniel and Revelation in the Bible are two of the only books that talk about not just historical events, but events that are actually to come and to be prophesied about. And
okay.
So they're both very prophetical. Prophecy.
Yeah. So they're prophets, right? Daniel was a prophet,
right.
And John is a prophet.
Yeah.
Yes.
What else do they have in common besides the fact they tell us about things to come, which is really important?
Well, one is a prophecy, and the other is a revelation of the prophecy.
Mm. But it's got prophecies in it, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do they both point to Messiah?
Yes.
One's the long way before Messiah. How does Daniel point to Messiah? He's 550.
Forward to him.
He's pointing forward, right? The huge metal man and the rock that comes is the kingdom of the Lord, right? Yeah. It has a prophecy about when Messiah will be cut off in Daniel chapter 9, right? So it's pointing forward.
Yes.
What about the Revelation?
It's looking back and
forward.
Oh, it's looking
right. It's going both directions.
It's looking back. How far back?
Not very far.
To heaven.
It's looking all the way back to the beginning in some parts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then it's just looking to the immediate, the last century when Jesus. Yeah. You know, it's first century, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's looking all the way to the end.
Yes.
In fact, it's broader in scope, isn't it? I think than any other book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The revelation of Jesus Christ. So I have a question for you. I mean, one book, Daniel's 2,500 years old, 2,600 years old. Revelation is 2,000 years old, approximately, maybe 1,900 years old, okay? A little bit more. Jason, why should we study these ancient, dusty scrolls?
Because these books tell us both what has happened and what will happen. And one thing we can know in order to trust God is look at how he has led in the past, and we can see what he's going to do in the future and also what he's doing right now.
Okay, I'm going to take a couple of comments, and then I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 10 and Romans 15. So if someone can find that. Why do we study these books, Alyssa and then Lisa?
One theme I see through both of them is it describes human efforts to rule, to improve humanity and all these things, and they all fail. None of them last. But then when you come back to the gospel, Christ-centered message, that's what always wins out in the end. So to give us that perspective, because sometimes we can get caught up in who's in control now, what's the current trends, what's humanity doing, but to keep that compass pointing straight to God through that and knowing that's the only thing that's really going to last forever.
And in our last study, we talked about trust in God, right? Yeah. So to keep things in focus for us. Mm-hmm. Lisa?
And I think another important thing is it affects all of us. I mean, whereas the Bible has talked about God's chosen people, by the time we get to the prophetic word, it affects all the whole world. And so whether or not you want to read it, it will affect you in some aspect.
You can't say, well, I'm not going to be involved with that. You live on the planet, right? So it is going to affect you. Did someone look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11? Someone have that, Travis? Sure. And then Romans 15 and verse 4. These talk about why it's helpful for us to study these documents.
1 Corinthians 10, 11, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now all these things happen to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come.
We don't use the word admonition very much anymore. What does the word admonition mean?
Counsel.
Guidance.
Guidance, counsel, learning.
Encouragement.
Encouragement. Yeah, it does have the idea of that it can have a positive result, right? Mm-hmm. It literally means to get it in your head. Yeah. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. So there's some benefit for us. Romans 15 and verse 4 reinforces that. Gladys?
Yes, Romans 15, verse 4, the New King James Version says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Mm.
So that added something. It's not just so that we can
learn
lessons, right, as important as that is, mm-hmm, Stephanie.
But to give us hope, to give us encouragement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because what Daniel and Revelation both do, in a way that, for example, some of the other books of the Bible may not do, mm-hmm, is it tells us
the
end of the story, right? Yes. The rest of the story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's crucially important. Otherwise, we could
get discouraged.
Right. Yes, Lisa.
And I think it's really important that God wants us prepared. He wants his people to be prepared. He doesn't want you to be anxious or to be, mm-hmm, fearful. He wants you to know exactly what you're getting into and how to be prepared for it.
Amen.
Now, some people think studying the book of Revelation can make you go crazy. I mean, there's all kinds of beasts and bugs and pits and... Well, how would you respond to that? People say, please, I don't even want to look at that. That's like... Can you go back to the verse? What did it say at the beginning of the book?
Yeah. Blessed.
Blessed are those who...
Read
and
hear. Hear and keep.
So whatever people are telling you, mm-hmm, the truth of the matter is you will be blessed if you go and spend some time studying. I think we should do a whole series on the book of Revelation. Yeah, right now, we're just doing Jesus in Revelation and preparation for the end time. But, Alyssa?
Also, too, Revelation has so much symbolism, and you have to remember that the Bible will explain that symbolism to you when you when you look at different verses, and right, so not to get bogged down by the symbolism, mm-hmm, but the Bible will answer itself.
Okay, and it may not be the simplest reading, right?
No.
You may have to really study. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Revelation then. We're here already, and let's look at some of the images or ways that Jesus is described. Images of Jesus, pictures of Jesus, if you will, in the book of Revelation. And let's start in verse 5 of chapter 1, Stephanie.
Sure. And the King James Version says it this way: "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood."
Wow, that's a pretty long description about him. What are some important things that you're hearing in the description of Jesus? By the way, we know this is reliable,
yes,
because, mm-hmm, it's given by Jesus, right?
Right? Yes.
Right? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ, right?
About him.
We know it's reliable. What impresses you right here at the beginning of how Jesus is described?
His love for us. Loved us and freed, yes, us from our sins. Yeah.
So the whole picture of salvation, he's Savior, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We don't have the Creator picture here like we do in other places, mm-hmm, but he's the one who saved us. Yes? What else do you see?
The resurrection is mentioned, firstborn from the dead.
Yep.
Firstborn from the dead. Now, that's an interesting expression, because other people, were there not others raised from the dead?
Mm-hmm.
Prior to Jesus being raised,
right,
from the dead. Yeah. Can you think of anybody?
Lazarus.
Well, Lazarus was one who was raised from the dead, the widow of Nain's son.
Moses.
There's a lot of, right? There were some people in the time of Elisha,
yes,
raised, yep, from the dead. But it doesn't say he's the first.
It says
the firstborn.
Firstborn.
What does that mean? Does anybody know? It's important, because in other parts of the Bible it says if Christ is raised from the dead,
yeah,
we too will rise.
Yeah.
Right.
Like death is defeated, right, if Christ rose. What's the picture here then? That he is...
If we are in Christ and we have died with Christ, we'll be raised with Christ. So he's a representative of the human race. And he's the firstborn of the human race to be raised from the dead.
It's like a position of preeminence rather than just timing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He's the leader.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's the leader of the resurrection.
Right?
Right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He gave his life for us. The resurrection of Christ from the dead was God's divine approval, the Father's divine approval, that the atonement was acceptable. He's raised from the dead. That's what it says in the book of Acts. That was a sign, raised from the dead. But if he rose,
we too will rise.
Right. So there's this picture. Now, what does that have to do? Why do they start with that in the book of Revelation, right up front? You know, he's our Savior, and he's conquered death.
So that there's no mistaking who we're talking about. That he is the Prince of Princes, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So there's no mistaking. It is Jesus Christ himself who is the one who saves us and who resurrects us.
Okay. And what is happening historically at the time that this book is given? Jason, you're nodding.
So there are questions because this is just several decades after Jesus has died. So there's questions about, did Jesus really rise from the dead? There's dispute among various faith groups there. And the one writing this, John, is the last disciple who have witnessed the resurrection.
And by the way, only John records a whole chapter about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And that's not so much about Lazarus. It's about Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
So there's an important message that needs to be conveyed. But what's happening to the church here at the end of the first century, Travis?
It's being persecuted. As a matter of fact, John is thrown into a pot of boiling oil before put onto the island of Patmos.
Yeah, and he's put there not for vacation, but to die.
So they kill him.
And yet the amazing thing is that they put him there to die, and what does he do? He writes the book.
Revelation.
God is still working in the midst of very difficult situations. Yeah. So if we just had the first thing here, you know, he's our Redeemer. He's the one who has burst open the grave. He's conquered death. And we too will rise. But there's more. Verse 7 of chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Ray, do you have that?
Yeah. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Revelation 1, verse 7 says, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, and those who pierced him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen.
Amen.
My Bible says wail. I think another translation is wail. Mm-hmm. Apparently not everybody is happy and ready when Jesus comes, right? Mm-hmm. Can someone go back to Matthew where Jesus himself speaks about his return? Matthew 24 and read verse 27, 30, and 31. Ray's read it from the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's as if Jesus revealing to John says, don't forget not only that I was raised from the dead, but that I'm
coming back.
I'm coming back, right?
Yes.
Matthew, someone have that? We'll read it for us. Marcus, Matthew chapter 24. Let's begin with verse 27 and then 30 and 31.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading from the King James Version. Verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then down to verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
That language sounds very familiar to Revelation 1, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Some people are mourning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Other people, I believe, are looking up rejoicing, right? Because Jesus is coming back. It's going to be a very dramatic event. Doesn't sound secret at all, does it?
Everyone.
Like lightning from the east to the west. In fact, it said in Revelation, every eye will
see him.
Every eye is going to see him. So this is an amazing, don't forget this, especially as you go into a time of trial.
Right.
Now, maybe we should have read verse 17 and 18 with verse 5, but we're just working our way through here, Christine. Verses 17 and 18 of chapter 1 gives us another glimpse of Jesus. Revelation 1, 17 and 18.
All right. I'll be reading from the New International Version. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.
Amen. Amen.
Death and Hades or the grave. I'll hold the keys. Yes. Mm-hmm. What do you hear there? You're smiling, Travis. What's the good news?
He's conquered death.
Yeah.
We don't have to fear death.
Yeah. I'm the first and the last, right? I'm the one who was alive, died.
Rose again.
So talk to me about John's reaction, Nicole. He falls. John falls at his feet as dead. Mm-hmm. What's going on there?
He's probably just in awe of who this person is. And the Lord said, you know, don't fear. You know, I'm the first and most. I've conquered all that you could even fear at this point. You might be on this island having doubts, whatever is going on. But I've conquered all of this. Mm-hmm. So fear not. And just know who I am.
So this is the glorified Jesus, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
This is the glorified Jesus, and his glory is revealed. John just kind of collapses. Didn't Daniel do that? You know, I mean, it's like this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, we see the one who's conquered death. Another picture of Jesus, Revelation 5, tells us how he accomplished that. It was alluded to when it said in chapter 1 that it was through his blood, washed in his blood. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Jason, would you read it for us?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints."
Later they'll say, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb." Mm-hmm. Why is Jesus referred to as the Lamb? Well, you know that from your study of the Bible. Why is he referred to as the Lamb?
Because in the sanctuary, if we go back way in the Old Testament, the Lamb represented Jesus. So it was pointing forward to Jesus who would be slain for the sins of the world.
All right. So this is the Messiah who will come. He hasn't come yet in the Old Testament, but the sacrifice of the Lamb was pointing forward. Great story in the Old Testament where the Lamb appears again in the sacrifice. God will provide.
Amen.
Right, with Abraham and his son Isaac, the Lord will provide, right? Then we come to Jesus in his ministry, and when John the Baptist sees him, what does he say?
He's the Lamb of God.
Takes away the sin of the world. So here in the book of Revelation, he's presented not only as soon coming king who's conquered death, but as the one who saves us. Yeah. Is there a prophecy in the Old Testament that speaks about him as the Lamb? Can you remember a prophecy like a lamb before his shears is silent? Isaiah chapter 53, that's right. He was wounded
for our
transgressions and bruised for
our iniquities.
So you've been reading your Bible, haven't you? You know, the chastisement or the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And with his stripes,
we are healed.
All we, like sheep, have
gone astray.
You've been memorizing your Bible. Yes. The Lord has laid on him
the iniquity
of how many?
All.
Now, if it's true, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. If the iniquity of all was laid upon the Savior, the Lamb of God, how many can be saved?
All.
Is that really true?
Yes.
That's true.
Provision has been made.
Yes.
How many will be saved?
Those who choose.
Anyone who chooses him.
Anyone who chooses to accept him as Savior.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? You say, well, that could mean that some people get there who don't deserve it.
None of us deserve it. We're all undeserving.
Yes. Someone told me that you get to heaven and someone will look at you and say, "I didn't expect to see you there." They'll probably say, "I didn't expect to see you either." We're all there by the grace of God, right?
Yes.
The Lamb of God who takes away the sin
of the world.
Well, there's so many other images. I'm going to look at just two more images of Jesus. In Revelation 19, this one's quite different from the Lamb. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 15. It's as if talking about being ready for the end. We've always got to keep Jesus in focus. Savior, conquered death, Lamb. What do we see here in chapter 19? Lisa, do you have that? Would read it for us, verses 11 through 15.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. Mm-hmm. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Mm-hmm. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
So I imagine when it says he has the name, the Word of God, John immediately thinks of
Jesus.
Because this is John the Apostle. Right. Yes, exactly. In the beginning, he'd written, right? In the beginning was
the Word.
And the Word was
God.
With God, and the Word
was God.
And then over to verse 14 of John 1, the Word
became flesh.
So he's the Word of God. You see, it's all tied together, isn't it? Mm-hmm. He is the one, he is God's voice incarnated.
Yes.
Amen. In the flesh. But he's not coming now as a lamb, is he?
No.
How is he coming in this picture?
King of kings.
King of kings.
Lord of lords.
Now that could be terrifying to some people, right? Mm-hmm. Robe dipped in blood. King of kings, Lord of lords. And it will be.
Unless he's the Lord of your life. And he's the king of your life.
If he's your Lord and your king,
yes.
You'll rejoice.
You'll be rejoicing, right? And one last picture before we look at a key chapter right in the middle of Revelation. I want to look with you at Revelation 22 and verse 13. What I'm impressing us with here is it's not only a revelation by Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
Yes.
If someone says, what's Revelation about? The answer is it's all about
Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. Preparation for the end time is about keeping our eyes focused on Jesus.
Amen.
Revelation 22 verse 13. Laurel, if you could read that for us.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
Now, I could ask you what Alpha and Omega means, but you just heard it, right? These are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. But it already told you that, right? It says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the
beginning
and the end, the first and the last. Why is he telling us that as he comes to the end of the book? This is the last book of Scripture.
Right.
This is his last statement to us, right? Maybe he'll say, surely I'm going to come quickly. Mm-hmm. First and last. Alpha and the Omega, Jason?
Well, we know in Genesis, God was there in the beginning. That's how it starts. Now we know he's also there in the end, too, here in Revelation.
Mm-hmm. I'm your creator.
I'm your redeemer.
And your redeemer. And your
king.
And your king. I'm all of that. And a simple application would be, I think I should make him first and last.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
How do you get ready for the end time?
Make Jesus first.
Make Jesus first.
And by the way, as soon as you accept him as Savior, you're part of the redeemed.
Amen.
Amen.
And the redeemed make Jesus
first and last.
Now we come to the chapter that really is in the heart of the book, Revelation 12. We're going to spend the rest of our time here because this is a crucial revelation, not only about what happened in the past, but what is going to happen in the future. And how we can prepare for the end time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask Nicole if you'd start in the first six verses. If we just had Revelation 12, if that was the only chapter that was given, it is so
powerful.
Mm-hmm. So let's read it with a prayerful heart, first six verses.
Revelation 12, 1 through 6, the New International Version says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars in her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Yeah. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days.
Whoa, there's a lot of prophecy here. I'm glad we're going to do a whole series on the book of Revelation. But some people interpret this passage and say the woman is a person, and they give the person a name, okay? But that doesn't make sense because this woman continues through the ages. So who does this woman represent who is giving birth to this child? And who's the child?
Jesus.
This is Jesus, clearly, right? This is the incarnation. Mm-hmm. So who is the woman that gives birth to this child?
The church.
It is God's people, that's right. It's through time God has prepared the way, and now the woman will give birth to the child, and this woman will come under attack by the enemy. Mm-hmm. What's the enemy do before the enemy attacks the people of God?
He takes the third of the stars out of heaven.
Well,
it's got the stars with it, but you're right, Travis. What's the target?
Jesus.
If I can kill Jesus now, before his ministry even begins, and where do we see that fulfilled historically? Where does that attack come?
The wilderness.
When Jesus was born, and then there was a decree to kill all the babies.
The enemy uses Herod the Great, who's jealous, doesn't want a rival. But he's not the real enemy, is he?
No.
There's a dragon behind him,
right?
That old serpent called the devil and Satan, and commits infanticide. Mm-hmm. That's a genocide of babies, right? Mm-hmm. Infanticide in a whole city just eradicates. And some generation. People say, well, maybe Jesus was older. I think he just said, kill anything this size and smaller.
Males. All males.
Male child, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's clearly trying to kill the Messiah. But this story already tells us he failed, right? Because the Messiah accomplishes his mission, is caught up to God. So what does the enemy do now?
Going against the church. The woman.
Persecute the church. Mm-hmm. Now, there's so much in here that we're going to have to wait till we have a full-time study. But the key lesson is that God has not abandoned his people.
Right.
No. Right? He's not only redeemed them, but he's going to protect them.
Yes. Amen.
We come to verse 7 now, which we've read before, but we're going to read it again, Alyssa. Mm-hmm. And some people believe that this is not in chronological order, that it flashes back to the very beginning with the war in heaven. Some people believe that it's chronological, and maybe it's both. Mm-hmm. Maybe the battle's going on all along. Maybe there's a cosmic controversy that's continuing until the Lord finally says, It is finished, right? Settled, right? The one who is filthy, be filthy still. The one who is holy, be holy still. But let's read on verse 7 through 12, as the story unfolds. And who'd read that for us? Eric, will you read? Starting in verse 7.
And I will be reading from the version 12, verse 7 to 10, from the New Living Translation. And it says, then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of God and the authorities of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to heaven, down to earth, the one who accuses them before God day and night.
Now, I really want to read verses 11 and 12, but I'm going to hold that for just a second, okay? Because that's the good news. I want to go over, Lisa, I want to go over to verses 13 through 17 first, as this picture is being presented of this intense battle. And if you could read verses 13 through 17 for us of chapter 12.
Hey, Revelation 12, 13 to 17, New King James Version. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Mm. What do you see in the story? Nicole?
Battle. It's just back and forth. I mean, he's just... Someone said earlier in a previous lesson that the way to hurt God is to get to his people. Yeah. And you can see the battle right here is that he's like, I can't get God. I couldn't get Jesus when he came up. I'm going to get those people that are there because that's how I'm going to hurt him. Mm-hmm. It's just this battle.
And the earth helps the woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Opens up and swallows up the flood. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism here that we could take a lot of time with. But the big picture is what?
God protects his church.
God protects his people. Right? Right? Mm-hmm. No matter how intense the battle becomes, that God is there to protect his people. Now I need to go back and I'm going to ask Stephanie to read verses 11 and 12 because that's the little good news in the middle of this intense battle. Some people might be with us in their study and going, oh man, I'm scared. Okay? But if we're scared, we're focusing in the wrong place.
Right. Amen. Right?
If we go, this is serious, I would say absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is intense, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But focus in the right place. This revelation is all about
Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
Jesus.
Looking to Jesus, Hebrews says, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We're going to keep focused on him. Amen. What does it tell us in the Revelation chapter 12, verses 11 and 12?
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
We studied in a previous program of this series about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. They were willing to die. Yes. Rather than compromise.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But they were rescued, right, from death.
Yes.
But here it says that these people did not love their lives to the death. Will some die?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Yes. Some have.
Some have.
Yes. Right.
Examples?
The apostles.
About every disciple of Jesus, yeah. Right? Except John the Baptist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And though it doesn't mention all of their names, there are even some mentioned in the book of Revelation who were martyred, right? Yeah.
Hebrews 11 describes some of them.
And Hebrews describes some of them who were torn apart by wild beasts and sawn in two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
So this battle is not going to be without damage.
Casualties.
So he said, that's not very encouraging. But Jesus said, don't fear the one who can destroy the body.
Yes, that's right.
Because what hope and assurance did these people have even who gave their lives?
Of course, eternal life.
All the salvation.
Jesus has conquered death.
Yeah.
Right? He has the keys of the grave and of death. So they don't need to fear. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb.
The word of their testimony.
And
love not their life unto death.
Like Paul said, if I live, I'll live for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If I die,
it's
gain. I'm gonna die in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, for Jesus.
Amen.
And I'm gonna rise just like Jesus did.
Amen.
In the resurrection.
Amen.
So that powerful picture in Revelation chapter 12, we could take a lot of time on it, right? But Travis, if this was the only chapter we had, if it was just the revelation of Jesus Christ and it's 17 verses long, if that was it, what would be the most important lesson you would take out of this chapter? I'm going to ask some others to share.
Mine would be to stay focused on my Savior.
Yeah.
Just totally stay focused on Him, because... And I'm going back to Daniel, but if I'm looking into the fire, I'm not going to make the same decision that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made. But if I'm looking at Jesus, I'll make the same decision he did.
Got to stay focused on him. Someone else, just from, if you just had this one chapter, what would the most important lesson be for you? Jason?
You may have difficulties. Revelation 12 is full of difficulties, whether they're physical, emotional, spiritual. But the most important thing is, even through these difficulties, keep focused on Jesus. He will get you through. He's already overcome them, and He will see you to victory.
Amen.
So I'm going to take one more comment, and then I'm going to take us back to the picture of Jesus walking through the candlesticks.
Mm.
Okay? And those seven churches... The message historically is to them, but it also is a message that spans across time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is to a suffering people. What is the significance of the fact that he's walking in their midst? Think about that. All right. Someone else had a most important lesson. Gladys.
To me is that God wants us to see here that he is the devil is a defeated foe.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that is described in the chapter, it highlights the point that he has been cast down. He has already is done.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else for him. So that's why that verse 11, it makes him more important. We are the winning team.
Hmm.
You know, we have overcome. Hmm. So just don't mind him.
Cast down. His time is short.
Yes.
Right. I've overcome.
We'll have overcome.
I've overcome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I guess something that is implied in that is that we recognize the battle's real.
Yes.
Because if the battle wasn't real, then we wouldn't have Jesus as our victor.
Right.
We wouldn't need Jesus.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So you'd say, if I read this and this was the only chapter, I'd say there is a very real battle going on.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
And there's a real victor, and that's Jesus.
And there's a real victor, and preparation for the end time is staying connected to him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. Travis?
Could I read a verse from... pertaining to this very time.
Where's it found?
It's in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1.
Of course you can. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. In fact, Daniel's probably the most appropriate book to read when you're trying to understand Revelation, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And what translation are you reading?
The New King James Version.
All right. Give us just a moment to find it. Daniel 12 and verse 1. And then tell us why you see this as an important...
Because there's good news in this time of trouble and when everything is going bad.
Okay.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there'll be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book."
And that book, according to Revelation, is the book of
life.
The Lamb's book of life.
Amen.
That's those who said yes to Jesus, right?
Right.
Yes.
Now, I've got just a couple of minutes. Jesus is walking in the midst of his churches.
Mm-hmm.
What's important about that picture?
He's with them.
He's with us.
Yes.
With them?
He's with us.
And he's with us too, right?
Yes.
And I've got to give you one more lesson, because right at the end of the book, he says, "I'm coming quickly.
Mm-hmm. My reward.
And my reward is with me."
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, I want to challenge you with this. What is the reward he brings?
Mm.
I don't know. I thought maybe crowns and jewels and when I was little. I don't believe that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reward he brings? Someone find Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. We're just in the last couple of minutes. Anybody have it? Isaiah, just wave at me when you find Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. Christine, Go ahead and read it for us. What's the reward he brings with him?
I have Isaiah chapter 40, verses 10 and 11. I'm reading from the New International Version. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
What is the reward, Nicole, that he brings with him?
But there's nothing.
He is the reward.
Amen.
And the reward is that the one who loves us with an everlasting love holds us close to himself. Mm-hmm. It is not just living forever. Yeah. It is living forever
with him.
Yeah. I didn't understand that. I thought it was like a bag of something. You could give me. But the greatest gift he brings
is
the gift of himself, who loved us
and gave himself for us.
Gave himself for us. Mm-hmm. And he wants to embrace us and be with us forever.
Amen.
You know, if you just took that lesson from Revelation, Jesus wins.
Yes.
Amen. And he wants us to win with him, doesn't he?
Amen.
He wants us to be. He wants you to be with him. I cannot think of any stuff I have that is more important. Jesus loves you and he wants you to be with him. What a picture. Isaiah, that was written 700 years before Jesus came. 700 years before is a picture of the return of Jesus. And the reward is to be with the one who saved us and loves us with an everlasting love.
Amen.
Won't you trust him today as your Savior? That is the greatest preparation for the end time.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, our hearts are glad. We've read a deep book, a revelation by Jesus about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when he comes, he will draw us to himself in love. Amen. He loves us now. He intercedes for us. May we rest in Jesus and accept his salvation today, that when he returns, we will welcome him with joy. Is our name and is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Blessed. Thanks for being with us for Hope Sabbath School. What an amazing journey we are on. I don't know. I think I'll laugh and cry and jump up and down at the same time when I see Jesus. What a joy to be with the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Don't keep that good news to yourself, my friend. Share that good news with those around you.